The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, a very special, special game day edition of the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, episode 603, season 412 of the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. And we've got together this morning, or this afternoon it is, we may have ticked over this afternoon, we have in fact 1 minute past the hour of 12, because we do have a very special guest. The studio we are in has been named this morning, it's been christened. There was a massive bottle of champagne shot over its bow. It's been called the Dave Collins Studio, and the man himself, the man who's been pressing buttons longer than John Holmes, is Dave Collins. He joins us. Dave, welcome.
Thanks, Benny.
You thought you were coming in this morning to receive a certificate for being here for 35 years. Is that correct?
That is correct. I was invited down. I'm thinking, oh, this will be just a handshake.
And a free feed.
And a party pie.
So 35 years you've been doing the football.
That's correct.
Can you remember your first game?
Barely. 1991. It was at Caninia Park and with the legends Teddy and his crew.
And? Who was? You can't remember the case were playing.
No.
Did you have a Gatorade shower after the game?
No. The boys just left me to pack up as they normally do.
Right. So you've seen a number of call teams come through. How many different callers would you have seen, do you reckon, just off the top of your head coming through your...
There must have been probably about 15 callers, probably nine head of footballers like Kingy. There was Sam Kekovic, Dwayne Russell, Anthony Mithen.
Benny.
How good you can't remember leaving me, Dave.
Were you the head?
Well, supposedly.
But I might have missed that year or two. Yeah.
You were asleep at the wheel of those years. We've got to preface this. You are a Geelong supporter.
I am. Yeah. Always have been, yep.
So the question before Kingy has a crack, the question I wanted to ask was, how did you get into doing it?
I was employed by K-Rock and as a technician, and the existing football team was there for years. It was consisted of Peter LeGram, Peter Pearson or Snake, and Brian Brustrill. And they had a technician who was the ex K-Rock 3GL broadcast engineer by a guy by the name of John McConnell. And he retired and they kind of hand passed it to me. So they said, do you want to do this on weekends?
Have you missed a game? Have you been ill? Have you had to call in sick?
No. The only
have you
game...
ever been managed?
No, not managed or sick. The only game I did volunteer not to do was the 2010 Grand Final replay.
Right.
I thought I've done a few, so I gave the other technician that was doing footy at that time a game to do the grand final.
Right.
So that's really the only one that I've missed.
So, Dave, 91, Geelong was still in the old wooden Brownlow stand. Is that right?
That's correct.
And then 92, the new, well, the the next one with the Go Cats. And then, obviously, now we're in what we're in now. What was it like in that the old wooden stand?
It was pretty primitive. There was only little windows at the front, and I sat down the back. But like I said, I had that for one season, and we went into the new stand, which has now been replaced. So I think I've broadcast from four different locations at Caninia Park.
Because we used two different boxes in the previous Brownlow stand, didn't we? We started in one, and then we moved to one that was the biggest of the lot.
Exactly. And then we were in the temporary stand when they were building.
Oh, that's right, in 2016.
The little high-rise thing that they built.
The Atco Hut. Remember those, Benny? The Atco Huts we were in.
Yeah, they had to wear a hard hat to get to them at one stage. Yeah.
We're like the village people.
You had no idea this was happening. So the studio we're in. So the studio we're in is now the Dave Collins studio. What does that mean to you to have forever and a day, whatever we do out of this studio related to Carroll football will be known as the Dave Collins studio?
I'm overwhelmed, actually. I did not expect that, you know. People behind the scenes like myself and that, they don't need to be, you know, highlighted. But I'm really rapt. I'm pretty proud. I really haven't stopped smiling since that. So, yeah, it's going to be amazing because, you know, you see other things named after people and you think, oh, that's pretty cool. So, yeah, I'm pretty wrapped.
At least it's not memorial.
Yeah, yes, that'd be a worry.
Were you worried that we were going to say, look, thanks for your time, 35 years?
Well, I didn't think that was coming, but, yeah, I thought it was just a handshake. Put your hand up, say thanks for your 35 years and a bit of party boys, but no, they did well.
Yeah, Dave, you won't be able to. I'm sure there's some stories, some of the characters that you had sitting in front of you and you were pushing the buttons. There'd be some stories you probably can tell and can't tell.
You can tell Ted Whitten
Ted
stories.
Ted Whitten stories and Sam Kekovich, I'd imagine. But have you got any ones that are actually that we can air without threat of being.
You can't defame the dead, so you can tell and talk anything about Teddy.
Teddy was a legend. He really was. He was the showman. He knew he was the number one. Everyone had to respect where he was, but he looked after the team. He always made sure I was included. I remember being at the airport, and we were waiting for a plane, obviously, and the other greats were there, the Bobby Skiltons and that. And, you know, Teddy know them, of course, so we'd go over and shake his hand and have a chat. But he also always remembered to pull me in and introduce me to those guys.
Yeah, right.
So he looked after you, even though you had to – he was the number one you had to
– Didn't they have a trip – I think you tell the story, was it Geelong might have been playing in the West, and you went over about 3 weeks earlier than the game.
Yeah, Teddy convinced management that because we hadn't seen Freo, no one had been seeing Freo, so we had to go over early to watch him train and get, you know, eyeball him and make sure we knew who the players were.
Yeah.
So we flew over on a Tuesday or Wednesday. I think we drove past the ground once. We drove past, they weren't there, so we went back, and so we spent the four days
on the fizzy ones.
Well, we went out most nights, and I don't think we saw him until we rocked up at 2 o'clock on the Saturday.
Do you enjoy the fact that you get a great seat to watch the team you barrack for, or what's the sort of key driver for you in terms of that? For somebody who's doing it that long, clearly there's something that is motivating you.
It's I'm a Cats fan, so that's good. I get paid to go to this footy, and relatively most of the broadcast positions are in A1 locations. So, and I get the privilege to go to the grand final. So it was a combination of seeing the Cats play. I mean, back when we first started, they weren't that crash hot. So I think I saw 3 losing grand finals before they actually got up. It involved both my love for football, the Cats, and it's probably what my job is. So,
has technology and the advancements in technology made things easier for you or more difficult for you?
It has. Back in the first day, we used to use Telstra landlines, and we had to talk to SOC, and we have to arrange landlines. Where today, it's just digital. It's on the internet.
Do you have less control then?
Not really. The size of the equipment. At one stage, I was lugging 120 kilos of gear around, which wasn't fun going through airports and stuff. And you know, you'd have to get there a lot earlier. These days, because of the digital consoles and digital codecs, etc., the gear's smaller, lighter, and pretty easy to use.
The irony of it is, Dave, that the time that I've been doing it, the short time compared to you, but the only time we're off air for a considerable period of time, and I reckon it was about, from memory, it was about half an hour, was the day that the late great, as Kingy said earlier, the late great Troy Selwood was getting, we had his parents in. I think it was Joel's 200th game. So Bryce and Marie were in, and Troy had organised that. Joel was obviously playing, and then Troy was in there, and he leant back in his chair, and he kicked the socket. I'm sure it was a power lead. He kicked out, that obviously fried you because that was the longest period of time. Is that the longest, if your recent memory, of we actually off air?
We've only had 2 major off air, and that was the Troy knocking a couple of cables out, including the power, and he disconnected the multi-core. So it took a few minutes to work out how to do that. But we had one other issue at the MCG where what we call our codec, which converts the audio onto a digital platform so we can send it back to the station, and that fried, so it caught on fire, so it died. So I had to then run to the car, because luckily I had a spare in the car, so I had to exit the MCG, go back to my vehicle, grab the spare and come back and plug it in. So they're the 2 major equipment failures. We've had other ones where the plane was delayed and, you know, we only just got to the ground and I'm basically plugging headsets over the top. We got one person going and then and went to air and then we got the second person going and then, you know, basically built the studio equipment around why being on air. So
other than King and I, because we'd obviously be numbers one and two.
But obviously.
Who else have you enjoyed working with, you know, not only callers, but, you know, special comments people as well, because you would have seen an absolute myriad of them come through over 35 years.
Well, there's lots of them. Sam Kekovich, he used to love using big words. I don't think many people understood what he was actually saying. Everybody had their own little quirks and stuff, so there's no real standouts. They all had their personalities.
And through that, though, with some of the special comments people, you get to meet players who you've watched. You know, we had Chappie on there for a few years, who was, I know, he's one of your favourites. He's one of my favourites, Chappie, the way he played.
Scarlo.
Scarlo'd a little bit, Bluey. You know, but then even we got to know Dan Menzel a little bit, who was still at the club. Link McCarthy did a few games with us. So, and that's sort
Tommy.
Yeah. They're the sort of things, that's what I enjoy anyway, being able to sort of
seeing the people one-on-one.
You get access to people you wouldn't normally get access to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can tell you a story that when I used to do, and I used to go down to the rooms after the game, which you did for a while, and I saw two little kids running around in football Geelong football jumpers, and they ended up being Gary and Nathan Ablett. Yeah. And they were only kids running around the box, and then I got to see basically both their whole careers, as well as people like Joel Selwood, Tom Hawkins, all these guys. So I'm very privileged in seeing those people.
And that era, that 07, I know that was just the premiership, 07 to 011, but that era sort of from early 02, 03 through to 2013 or so, when you had, you know, all those players, Bartell, James Kelly, Steve Johnson, Chappie, Scarlett, Otten,
Enfield.
They had a zillion of them, didn't they? It was amazing to have a front row, like we're privileged to have a front row seats for that.
Totally. You know, it's amazing. A lot of people are jealous of the Cats and probably myself and our core team to see how good they've been recently.
You're a four-time premiership engineer. Only you and Joel as four-timers. You got a favourite out of the four, Dave?
Oh, the 2007. Because it was the first one that I'd seen live, they really went well. They you know, it was just how far. it was a great one. You know, after seeing the 92, 94, 95 losses, it was, you know, I didn't care. It was kick another goal. I didn't care what was 100 points or whatever. So,
what was your favourite suburban ground before the rationalisation took place?
Well, I actually started just after they lost all the St Kilda, Collingwood, Windy Hill, that one. So really the only ones I did were Optus Oval.
Yep. Princess Park.
Princess Park. Western Oval.
So you were there the day Doug Hawkins broke Teddy's games record at the Dogs.
And they were shocking broadcast positions. They were like out of the four windows and you lifted them up and you know, you sat like in a plane. There was two at the front, two at the back. Yep. It was pretty average.
Barry Stoneham did his
injured
himself in the ruck at Princess Park.
Princess Park against Fitzroy,
I reckon.
Yeah, I was there that day, yeah.
Yeah, I was there too. I was absolutely refreshed.
What was Waverley like?
It took forever to get there. It was good. And we broadcast from in the written press area, but they had the scones and the red wine, so a few of the other commentators indulged in a few of those at halftime and three quarter time. And Teddy always used to stop the wrong way in a bottle shop and yell out, "Hey, knackers," and get a six pack for the trip home. So
for free.
Oh, he never put his hand in his pocket.
Yeah. The other thing people don't realise is that you're not based in Geelong. You've actually been, but you're based at 3BA and Power FM in Ballarat, who for a long time were part of the Grand Broadcasters Network, but now part of ARN. Was there ever a time where you were worried when ARN bought 3BA and Power FM that this might end for you?
Yeah, I was a bit worried when the two companies separated, and it was a bit worried. And being out of town, so it was a long stretch for me to travel down and whatever, but the company supported me, and here I am.
How much longer do you reckon you'll do it for? Is it something that once you're done with Monday to Friday broadcast engineering, that it will become your weekend hobby in winter, that you'll still do it?
I think so. Yeah, I enjoy it that much. I mean, it's enjoyable, so I think I'll extend it as long as the equipment and the company are happy with my performance, etc.
What if you get it? You'd be obviously an unrestricted free agent at your age, Dave. You might be able to sort of AFL Nation or something. You might be able to shop yourself around.
No, I think I've cut those bridges before because I think they've reached out and I said, no thanks, I'm very happy down here.
Give us your top five players to watch across the last 35 years.
The Cats?
Yeah.
The Cats. Oh, Gary Ablett Senior, Gary Ablett Junior.
Yep.
I loved Battelle.
Yep.
Chappie.
Yep. You know he's on tonight.
Is he?
Yeah. He's not in the flesh, but he's on there. He's going to be on, yeah.
On this day or thereabouts.
Yeah. So there's four. Who would be the fifth one?
Look, I love little Matty Stokes.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, I liked the way he played and he shared it. And so, yeah, there was lots. I mean, you could keep going.
The flip side of that, give us your five most frustrating players to watch.
Melangola, what was his name?
Sam.
Oh, geez, who else can I pick on? No, I can't.
Come on. You're all, because Dave sees the game quite well, but after the game, you'd be going, Dave, thanks, David. God, he was shit. We need to move him on.
No, I don't think I've ever said move anybody on.
No. You get a bit frustrated with I'm trying to think. There was always a couple that used to sort of.
There's a couple of current ones that I have problems that they seem to go one way real quick and yes. It's slow the other yes. way.
Don't name them yet.
I can't name them, no.
Laws are liable.
Have you ever wanted to be on the other side of the mic? Did you ever?
No.
You've always been happy pressing buttons and plugging in things?
Yeah, it's not my gig to you know, call. I've never wanted to be a caller. That brings up a funny story. When I first started in radio, when I did my first interview, the interviewer kept saying, "You sure you don't want to be on air?" I go, no interest. You sure? He asked me about five times during the interview, and I said, no, it's not my gig. Yeah. So
you like just pushing buttons in the background, Dave?
Yeah.
You played a bit of local footy in Geelong?
I did.
Who for?
Red West.
Oh, yeah.
He played under 19 VFA?
I got to under 19, yeah, but, I mean, I was picked 27, but...
You still got there.
Yeah. They didn't do any good because they were playing the Melbourne teams and they got beat up pretty badly at most
games. Back in the VFA?
Yeah, when Red West was playing.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
We had Gary Malarkey on a few weeks ago. He coached
Red West.
Red West, yeah.
But you love your sailing.
Yeah, I'm a big sailor down here in Geelong, so I've had my own boat and sailed that for 20-something years. So.
And done it with some success too.
Yeah, we sail a class boat, so... we compete against other boats at exactly the same. So we won a couple of regattas down here in Geelong and come second in the States three or four times. So, yeah.
So you'd be familiar with when the lady, the champagne in Caddyshack, when she christened the boat and...
The Flying Wasp.
She christened the Flying Wasp and then she hit the sort of massive stick off the end of the... I don't know, I'm not into sailing. Dave, you'll have to help me out. But you remember the scene, do you? No, you don't remember it. And she goes... And then he's saying it's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you got the stock market beat. But a man worthwhile is a man who can smile when his pants are too tight in the seat. And then he goes, do the honors, Pookie. And she hits the boat with the champagne and then it snaps something on the boat. It's hilarious. Anyway, you need to watch it, David. It'll be right up your
alley. I can't believe you haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah. I thought I've seen it once, but...
You need to watch it again.
You quote that movie a lot.
Yeah, we do.
Which I'm happy with.
Andrew Daly likes that. He loves the
reference. See how the Cat's going to go tonight,
Dave? Yes, Dave.
Tough game tonight.
Massive game.
Yeah. I think Brisbane were just about out, but after their performance last week, I think the Cats are up for it.
Hang on, that's enough, Dave. You're doing a good job.
Oh, hang on. Yeah. I've got a bit more. I thought
you said you didn't want to do radio.
Well, in the outbreaks you hear, I always have an opinion.
Yes. No, we do. We like your opinion too. So, tonight's huge. It's a massive. It's an 8-point game. And there's only 4 points up for grabs, which is quite extraordinary. But it is massive in the context of the Cats season because if you look at the ladder, I was looking at this. If North Melbourne beat Port Adelaide, which is not beyond the realms, it's in Adelaide, but Port can be up and down, and Geelong lost tonight, North Melbourne would have the same number of wins as the Cats.
Yeah, it's frightening.
Yep. And they've had a lot of much easier draw, in fairness, but they still will have the same number of wins.
Yeah, it's pretty tight.
And if getting a game on Brisbane, they're the same number of wins as the Cats as well.
You ready to launch, Benny?
Yeah, I'm ready to launch. I can't understand.
No, I want it. Yeah, so I was leading you into something there.
Well, I just, can you...
Grime
Dave, yeah, Dave will have an opinion on this. I don't
obviously
know.
They don't they obviously don't trust the knee. But if you don't trust it, send him off and get
him. But that could be for any player.
Yeah.
I mean, any player could do their knee at any time, couldn't they? I mean, there's no guarantees. He's had 30 in the twos. He had 24 before he went out, the game before they managed him, which clearly they dropped him. Mm. Do you think there could be a late change if it's wet?
Potentially.
I just, he's got to be in the best 22, doesn't he?
23.
23, sorry, yeah.
No, I agree with you, Benny.
I think whips are cracking, he's there. There must be.
Well, clearly not. The whips are cracking now. This is when you want to be cracking the whips. Yeah. This is a huge game in the context of their season and next week as well. Mm. If Geelong could somehow find a way to beat Brisbane tonight and then win next week on the road against GWS, who knows
what they'll serve,
how they'll play. No. If they're horrible, Geelong will win. If they're not, Geelong have their hands full. If they could find a way to win the next two, it would set them up. You would have to think that they are odds on to finish top four. But if they're 1-1, there's still a chance. If they're zipping two, they're probably going to struggle.
Dave, on behalf of us at Geelong Broadcasters, all the team, and especially the K-Rock footy team that Benny and I have had the pleasure of leading, I think, combined over the last decade or so. Thank you for everything. We know it's not finished, and we hope it's not finished for a heck of a long time. We've paid tribute to you with the Dave Collins Studio. We've paid tribute to Laurie Hill today as well. Our post-match interview will be known as Potholes Player of the Day. He won't get to pick who we speak to. It'll just be...
That'll take off, Potholes Player of the day.
You would have thought. But
reckon the coach will want to do it?
Probably not. It's a player.
He can stand in, surely. He's only been on. Hasn't been on since when?
I don't know.
When was the last time?
2022, I think.
Before that was 2016.
Something like that.
Once in 10
years. When you got vertigo in Canberra.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That was shocking.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I was there.
Yeah, Dave was there. I was almost giving me a mouth at one stage.
What? That's why I did.
We're out of an old ticket box.
There's actually nothing wrong with it.
It was the ex-pie stand, I think it was.
Terrible.
On the Ford pocket.
But no, forever the Dave Collins studio that we'll do podcasts from and our occasional remote broadcast of interstate games as well. Dave, thank you for everything and we'll see you at the footy tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Kingy.
Go Cats.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kurz Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.